time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
He'll shoot and he hits it!
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two of overtime on a Tuesday, July 29th edition of the program. Tomorrow on the show, we are on early. We are off early, making way for the Minnesota Twins to get underway at 11:30. But we got two, not one, but two South Dakota high school football coaches from our area joining us tomorrow on the show. We're talking Sioux Falls, Washington, and Brandon Valley Lynx football tomorrow in the 10 o'clock hour. So if you're a fan of the Lynx or the Warriors, join us tomorrow, 10 a.m. start time, 11:30 off the air, making way for the Twins to continue their series against the Red Sox. Still to come today, latest from Major League Baseball, remembering Rhino. Ryan Sandberg passed away yesterday at the age of 65. More sights and sounds and all sorts of outpouring of love and support to the Sandberg family today following Ryan's passing just yesterday and shook the Major League Baseball community. Latest from the NFL, season previews on the way for the Dolphins and the Jets and the good, the bad, the ugly before we are done. Before we get any further, though, again, I just got texted by my wife in our neighborhood. We're without power. I know a lot of people are without power right now in the 605. So thank you. And please, please, please be careful out there on the roads. Be patient with one another. And thanks to the city for all the cleanup efforts today and the volunteers that are simply out there moving branches out of the way, helping their neighbors after a very destructive and scary storm rolled through this area, south of us, east of us, throughout the entire state of Iowa. Thoughts and prayers to all of those impacted, and we will get through this together. And again, a lot going on out there, but hopefully a lot of recovery on the way for our area and all of those affected. Still to come on the show, we told you Major League Baseball, NFL, good, the bad, the ugly. Let's dive in to your scorecard. Cubbies lost last night to the division rival and now division leading again, Milwaukee Brewers, 8-4. Arizona lost in Detroit, 5-1. Rockies get a win. Alert the presses. 28-78 is their record with an 8-6 victory in Cleveland. Atlanta hands it to Kansas City 10-7. And the Minnesota Twins were down, but they weren't out last night. They win it in a rain-delayed game against Boston 5-4. Duran the win, his sixth of the year. Here's manager Rocco Baldelli on the importance of cracking the bat when it matters the most in the ninth inning.
It's still a great opportunity and a time to make something happen. And our guys came out. They all went up there and had good at-bats, every one of our guys, and made Hicks throw strikes and get in the zone and battled and fouled some pitches off. And it's not that easy to sit around and then just show up and head out there and face a guy throwing 100-mile-an-hour sinkers and win the at-bats.
And regardless of that, Minnesota did get the win, 5-4. They're 51-55. They match up with the Red Sox coming up again tonight, 6:40 start, 6 o'clock. Your pregame coverage right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Other two finals from yesterday, White Sox got a win, 6-2 over Philly, and St. Louis over Miami. That final score, 7-1. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, D-backs and Tigers get us going from Detroit at 5:40. Rockies at Guardians from Cleveland, same time. Other matchups, Braves at Royals, Phillies at White Sox, Cubs visiting the Brewers, Marlins at Cardinals, and again, Red Sox at Twins, 6 o'clock pregame, 6:40. The start time right here on the Minnesota Twins Radio Network. Let's look back on the life, the legacy of Ryan Sandberg. Passed away yesterday at the age of 65 after a battle with cancer. Here's ESPN's Eduardo Perez.
He was one of the gentlemen of the sport. And I think when you look at a face of Major League Baseball in the mid-80s, it was Ryan Sandberg, one of the guys that you had to look up to, because he was the one that really identified with, again, the average Joe that loved the game. And in the Windy City, in Wrigley, Ryan Sandberg was the guy, just like Steve Garvey was the guy with the Dodgers in the mid to late 70s. It was Ryan Sandberg in the mid-80s that was the person that you wanted to identify. identify with. And the beauty is that I have a personal outlook of it because I got to see him at the Ottisaga Hotel in Cooperstown when, you know, my dad was also inducted into the Hall of Fame, and all those weekends, those Hall of Fame weekends to be around. And every time you see Ryan Sandberg, it was a breath of joy that one was able to look at. And I was always looking at him thinking, wow, I just remember those calls of Harry Carey saying one more for Rhino. This is definitely a truly sad day for the Sandberg family, and the Sandberg family includes all of the Cubs family in Major League Baseball.
That's Eduardo Perez on the legacy of Ryan Sandberg, what he did for Chicago, what he did for baseball, a magical 1984 season in which he won MVP and certainly was a part of a team that was not great at any point during his career, didn't win a whole lot of playoff series, but was an amazing player on and off the field, and certainly left a tremendous legacy in Chicago that continues to this day. Jesse Rogers talking about what made Sandberg so good on the baseball diamond.
Yeah, he could do it all. He could run the bases. He could hit for power. At a time when second baseman did not go deep very often, he hit 282 career home runs. In his MVP season in 1984, he hit 19 triples, 19 home runs, hit 314. John Smoltz, who he hit six home runs against in his career, second most off of any pitcher, told me his swing was perfect for Wrigley Field. A flat swing, he'd hit the gaps, he'd go down the line, and of course he'd hit the ball out of the ballpark as well. Larry Boa, his shortstop during those years, mentioned to me how he learned to pull the ball and put it in the air. His manager, Jim Fry, used to tell him in batting practice, just pull it in foul territory every time, over the tarp, down the left field line in foul territory, and that will teach you how to pull the ball. And he learned that way to sort of take his game to another level. And so he really could do it all, but he didn't start out that way. He struggled early on, but kept at it, mentally tough, really wasn't a boisterous guy in the locker room, but everyone said he was a lot of fun. So on and off the field, just a guy you'd want on your team and someone that fans could really root for.
And somebody that fans will not soon forget either. Ryan Sandberg passing away yesterday at the age of 65. And I said it in hour number one, and I'll say it again. Amazing guy and an amazing family man as well. I remember his wife was here with him just two summers ago for the Hy-Vee Sanford Legends for Kids charity banquet. Stuck around, talked with a ton of people. And I remember it was one of those moments at the Legends for Kids where both individuals that night, Chris Carter was the counterpart with the Legends for Kids banquet that year. Both of those individuals were so darn gracious with their time. They carved out a big role with me up on stage talking about their life, their legacy, career in sports, what they want to get out of the next chapter of their career and their life, what they would say to the youth and to the parents of said youth about being involved in youth sports and everything that goes along with being a professional athlete and dedicating your life to a craft like that. And also the graciousness that in which he talked about all these things and showed off and flaunted his big World Series ring as he was part of the Cubs organization when they finally got over the hill back in 2016 over the Cleveland Indians, and certainly a guy that was very gracious with his time. If you've ever been to the Legends for Kids charity banquet back in the day, autographs were beforehand, but a couple fans came up and said, hey, would you mind taking a picture? Would you mind signing this? My son's a big fan. My dad's a big fan. I'm a big fan. And the line just formed, and Ryan Sandberg and Chris Carter could not be nicer and more gracious and going above and beyond to make people's night. And that's just a testament to the men that they are and the man that Ryan Sandberg was. Rest in peace to Ryan at the age of 65. Lastly, from the world of Major League Baseball, another ugly situation surrounding betting irregularities, and it's also on the same team as the most recent one in Cleveland. We've got a new kind of set of circumstances with pitcher Emmanuel Clase. Here's Mark Zeno talking about how cheaters will eventually get caught.
You're always going to get caught. Sports betting is the best guardrails of any government organization in America, better than the FCC. They have better guardrails than the IRS. They have better guardrails than any institution in America. So if you're going to try to cheat, you're going to get caught. So I always like to reiterate that. That's not a bad thing for sports betting. It's a good thing. We want the cheaters to get caught. Now, a lot of these times when these things are out there and the internet sleuths will take over and make a case for things that are and create videos that we don't necessarily know are 100% accurate. I want to wait to see how the rest of the information plays out. It is disconcerting that the investigation involves two pitchers from the same team. Mm-hmm. It's disconcerting that players would want to take part in this. But again, how much money would you have to pay Emmanuel Clase to dump his first pitch in the dirt?
And again, this is something that has been very ugly, not just in baseball, but football as well. College baseball with Alabama. Many, many, many other instances we've seen these betting irregularities where people are putting a lot of money on really weird things circumstantially to happen in games with prop bets and otherwise. And again, we've seen sports betting and major league sports of any level, any kind, and this marriage has been rocky and weird and not perfect. There needs to be some hard guardrails in place. Mark Zeno there saying you'll eventually get caught, but it would be better if this just didn't happen in the first place. Nobody's perfect. People make mistakes, but this just needs to be crystal clear across all sports leagues, whatever it might be. Are people that get paid way more money than me to make those decisions. But I think we need something in place because this, along with basketball, recent situations there, NFL football, couple of year-long suspensions in the National Football League recently, really ugly. Sports betting, major league sports, prop betting also included in that. Very ugly situation continuing. And as Mark Zeno said there, we'll just have to wait and see what exactly we do find out. The repercussions, possible suspension, possible discipline on the way for a pair of Cleveland Guardians pitchers. NFL football now, Hall of Fame game is 2 days away. That's right. NFL football season starts on Thursday night, 7 o'clock on NBC. Chargers and Lions from Canton. Vikings and Packers will open up the preseason on Saturday, August 9th. Minnesota home to Houston. Green Bay home to the Aaron Rodgers-less New York Jets. Ryan Clark talking about Joe Burrow. Does he deserve some blame for how things have gone in Cincinnati? Here's Ryan Clark on that matter.
Joe Burrow takes none of the blame for the Cincinnati Bengals not making it to the playoffs. Let's just think about the seasons Joe Burrow has actually finished. In two of those seasons, you go to the AFC Championships, and one of those seasons, you advance. And then you look at last year, and he's the best quarterback in the world, and it's not a conversation. I don't understand Chris's incessant need to make us not believe in Joe Burrow, or for Joe Burrow to not be a part of the conversation he has earned his way into being a part of. If they got 99 problems, Joe Burrow ain't one.
Joe Burrow is not the problem, but I don't understand the blameless label to that audio clip on Ryan Clark. Joe Burrow deserves some blame. He's also a slow starter, just like the Bengals are, and a lot of that might be out of his control, but he is a member of the team after all, and things have not added up to successful starts for the Cincinnati Bengals recently. Joe Burrow deserves some blame, also deserves all sorts of praise, because that dude is on my short list and everyone's short list of best quarterbacks in the NFL, top three, top four. You could argue it. Joe Burrow could land in any of those spots, and I wouldn't argue against it. Top one, two, three, four. Burrow, amazing player. Certainly not blameless, but not worthy of a lot of blame for how things go year over year in Cincinnati. Update on contract standstills. Avert your ears if you're a fan of the Bengals, of the Washington Commanders, or the Dallas Cowboys, because Adam Schefter's not confident that any of their current contract standstills will get done today or soon.
I don't feel great about where any of those are right now. Now, again, I think we all know that you get to late August and suddenly sides and stances change. But I don't believe a Micah deal is happening today or is anywhere close. I don't believe a Terry McLaurin deal is happening today or anywhere close. I don't believe a Trey Hendrickson deal is happening today or anywhere close. Now, which one softens up first? I don't know, but I don't feel great about any of them today. Today.
And that's not good news, especially because out in D.C., Terry McLaurin, that situation to me feels like a no-brainer. I think that one gets done soon because Dallas is Dallas. They take all the time in the world. And Cincinnati probably, not even, no joking aside here, Trey Hendrickson might not ever get paid additional dollar by Cincinnati. I do think they would be wise to get the deal done, just like they finally got the deal done with Shamar Stewart. Need to get Trey Hendrickson in-house, get that defense going, at least wheels turning on that defensive unit in Cincinnati. I think the first to get done, though, will be in D.C. with Terry McLaurin. The Las Vegas Raiders have released Christian Wilkins as of this weekend. Why? Here's Adam Schefter.
I think that they were tracking down this road anyway, where because they were frustrated by his pace of recovery and his willingness to rehab and his flexibility to have surgery and his desire to return as soon as possible, frankly. That is why I believe he's not on the team today. Now, there are other incidents that occurred, but I believe that's separate from the underlying football issue.
And the incidents that occurred are interesting, to say the least. We'll dive into this a little bit more later on in the show, but here's what ESPN has right now in regards to one incident that is not the sole reason that Christian Wilkins was released by the Raiders, but may have been a contributing factor. Christian Wilkins, who was released by the Raiders on Thursday, reportedly kissed a fellow player on the head, and the teammate took offense to it. A source told ESPN's Adam Schefter the incident was not the sole reason Wilkins was cut. Again, not the sole reason, but Wilkins has been recovering from a Jones fracture, which he suffered in his left foot last October. More on that incident, the reporting around that incident coming up soon on the show, but we'll dive in and continue to make our way through the scorecard. Lastly here, Aaron Rodgers, Chris Canty, the beef is there. Canty very rarely has positive things to say about Rodgers, and he says nothing points to a successful season in 2025 for the former Packer great.
Why would I think Aaron Rodgers is going to help the Pittsburgh Steelers compete for a playoff spot and win a playoff game? It's not going to happen. He's going into his age 42 season. Outside of Tom Brady, who has success in their age 42 season? Nobody. Not nobody. Like, we've seen several quarterbacks. I think there are five quarterbacks to start and win a playoff game in their 40s. But Tom Brady is the only one to do it at 42. So what exactly are we talking about? I just don't get it. Aaron Rodgers has been bad the last 3 years.
Chris Canty talking there. A lot of truth in that sentiment. But my argument is this. Aaron Rodgers probably, not definitively, but is probably an upgrade from the duality of quarterback they had last year in Pittsburgh, Justin Fields, Russell Wilson. Neither of those guys played good ball for Pittsburgh last year. They were okay at times. They got out to a good start. Russ won five in a row. They limped down the stretch. I think Rodgers, if he's just steady Eddie, they're back. 8, 9, 10 wins again, possible playoff victory at the absolute best. I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl. I'm not going to proclaim that from the mountaintops anytime soon. But I do think that Rodgers could be an upgrade this year in Pittsburgh. Don't think it yields a lot more victories, but we'll wait and see how it all pans out. Here's a guy that I should put on the identity crisis before too long. I miss this quarterback. I used to think he was awesome. Stats would not back that up. But how about Jake Plummer, Jake the Snake, the Arizona Cardinal, Denver Bronco? He was on ESPN Radio talking about the tush-push play and also Jalen Hurts.
I actually really hated the quarterback sneak because back in that day, they could totally tee off and take shots at your head and neck, where now it's almost like unfair to let the quarterback go dive in there because, you know, if you hit him too hard, you could get in trouble. And I didn't really care for the sneak. If I had to, I would do it because I'd do anything for my team. But, yeah, the tush-push is strange. I didn't have a tush like Jalen Hurts, though, man. I was only pushing maybe 200 pounds, you know. Jalen's got them running back legs and hips, man. He is a specimen, and it's been really fun to watch this kid get benched in the NCAA championships and then come back and still come after it. And then even in the pros, be doubted. You got to love an athlete and a leader and a guy like that that didn't let all the naysayers steer him wrong. He just went out and played and stepped up when he had to, and he really was brilliant last year.
That was Jake the Snake Plummer on ESPN Radio talking about Jalen Hurts, who was very brilliant last year, which why I view him as immensely undervalued in the NFL circles this offseason. ESPN.com and their quarterback rankings, Jalen Hurts at number 9. I think we need to give him his flowers for winning the Super Bowl with the Eagles this year, the way he did it, the way he played and guided that offense. And we said steady Eddie a moment ago. That's what Jalen Hurts was last year for Philadelphia. He's top 5 for me. At worst, I could see you putting him at 7 behind Jaden Daniels and behind one other quarterback of your choice, maybe Matthew Stafford. But I don't really view Jared Goff as better than Jalen Hurts right now. I don't view Baker Mayfield as definitively better than Jalen Hurts. You never know. They're in different offenses, and the teams ask them to do different things. So again, it's in the eye of the beholder right now, your quarterback rankings. But Jalen Hurts, for me, number 5 in the NFL. Lastly, let's round out the scorecard. NASCAR race this weekend is as close to home as possible. The race will be at Iowa Speedway Sunday, 2:30 on USA. The PGA Tour heads to Greensboro, North Carolina for the Wyndham Championship running Thursday through Sunday. And WNBA basketball, Seattle all over Connecticut last night, 101-85. And the Liberty lose on the road to Dallas of all teams, 92-82. Liberty fall to 17-8. Tonight in the WNBA, three games on the docket. The final one, probably the juiciest matchup. Cameron Brink back to the floor for the Sparks. LA is home to the Aces, 9 o'clock on NBA TV. Let's dive right into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. It starts down in Vermilion, talking about single game tickets now on sale for USD football and USD volleyball. For all single game tickets for the Coyote volleyball season, including the Coyote Invitational, which runs September 11th through the 13th, and the South Dakota Classic, which include matches against Kansas, Villanova, Wichita State, and more, and the Coyotes' eight home game Summit League matches are available for $17 for adults, $12 youth tickets. Football tickets single game for the four available six home games, $27 for adults, $17 for youth. More information, goyotes.com. You can also call the ticketing office right now, 605-677-5959, to get your seat inside the Sanford Coyote Sports Center or inside the Dakota Dome. Big news as of this morning, the Field of 68 Media Network will once again tip off the college basketball season on Monday, November 3rd, and little old itty-bitty Sioux Falls will be the marquee venue for the start of the college basketball season for the second year in a row. The Field of 68 Opening Day Showcase has been rebranded to the Field of 68 Opening Day Marathon. They're still playing three games to open up the season here in South Dakota at the Sanford Pentagon. Omaha against Murray State, Drake against Northern Arizona, and South Dakota State will face off with Merrimack. There will also be three additional games held in Rock Hill, South Carolina, just over the border from Charlotte. Each game will be broadcast on the Field of 68's YouTube channel and X feeds, with the network's popular After Dark show going live from the Pentagon at the conclusion of the final contest. So, certainly a massive event on the calendar already. It's going to be November 3rd. More details available at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Minnesota Twins got a win last night after letting go of one of their starting pitchers via the trade market. The sell-off has begun, according to TwinsDaily.com. In anticipation of Thursday's Major League Baseball trade deadline, the Twins are sending right-handed pitcher Chris Paddock to the division rival Detroit Tigers. First with the news, Dan Hayes and Ken Rosenthal. Randy Dobnak was also sent as part of the trade to Detroit. According to ESPN's Jeff Passan, that was confirmed a little bit later. Paddock has been pretty solid, 29-year-old, eligible for free agency at the end of the year. In 21 starts and 111 innings this year, he has a 4.95 ERA, just finished his Twins tenure, which stretched over parts of 4 years, and he joins up and links up with a team very likely to win the AL Central this year in Detroit. In exchange, Minnesota is getting a prospect, minor league first baseman and catcher Enrique Jimenez, just 19 years old, has a 779 OPS for Detroit's Florida Complex League affiliate. Switch hitter, blossoming power, viewed as having a chance to stick behind the plate. All of that, the opinion of TwinsDaily.com. Chris Paddock and Randy Dobnak sent to Detroit as of yesterday for a pre-trade deadline deal. Major League Baseball trade deadline is coming up on Thursday. And lastly, we have not talked hockey in a while. They're in the offseason, but ESPN.com has the big offseason storylines out there for all teams across the league. And the Minnesota Wild storyline, they're ranked 12th right now in the power rankings in the offseason. At one point, there was some thought that the Wild would sign Minnesota natives Brock Nelson or Brock Boeser or both. Instead, each re-signed with their prior team, bringing in Vladimir Tarasenko. Could be one of the offseason's deftest moves if the veteran forward can find his former scoring touch that mostly eluded him this past season. That's the offseason storyline from a Wild perspective. Long offseason ahead. Before long, puck will be back out on the ice, not just in the NHL, but also in the college game for the Augustana Vikings here in Sioux Falls. Those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number two. As always, for a plain and simply better local banking option, check them out in person, the 605, or online at ReliaBank.com. When we come back, the latest from Major League Baseball, more on that Emmanuel Clase gambling investigation, the leave from the Cleveland Guardians organization. More on that coming up around the corner, and more on Chicago Cubs legend Ryne Sandberg, passed away yesterday at the age of 65. That's next on this Tuesday edition of Overtime.
Hoops and NBA basketball, the NFL and Major League Baseball. It's all here on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Time to talk some baseball now on this Tuesday, July 29th edition of Overtime. Trade deadline is coming up on Thursday, so you can rest assured we will have all of the trade news for you over the next few days. I'm sure bleeding into Friday as a lot of deadline deals get done. You guessed it, at the deadline, which is after the show concludes on Thursday. So we will get you a full recap on Friday and throughout the week of all of the moves that have been made. If you missed it, I just told you moments ago, Minnesota Twins have made a move, sending Randy Dobnak and Chris Paddock to division rival Detroit. We'll get you the latest and greatest as we move forward, if the Twins decide to sell any more, buy any more, or sit on their hands the rest of the way. Quick update here on the AL Central. Things have tightened up just a bit. Detroit has won just three of their last seven, so certainly not as hot as they have been throughout the year. Still by far and away the best team in the division, best run differential, best power of the bat, best pitching crew. Detroit 62-46, 9 games better than Cleveland, 9.5 better than Kansas City, and a full 10 spot better than the Minnesota Twins, who currently occupy the fourth spot in the Central. And the White Sox, as the case has been for the last few years, better luck next year in the cellar, 39-68. Your wild card standings as we continue our way through July, soon to be August. The pressure will be on very soon for those Minnesota Twins. They are now 5 games out to the final wild card spot. They're trailing New York, Seattle, and Boston. They own the spots. Texas, Tampa Bay, Cleveland, the Angels, and the Royals are all slightly ahead of the Minnesota Twins right now. So yeah, it's go time. Regardless of what you think your prospects are, the time is now for the Twins bats to get going, the injured starters to get back in the lineup, including Pablo Lopez. We'll see what Minnesota can be the rest of the way, but it's an uphill climb. 5 games out of a wild card spot, 10 games out of the top spot in the division. Speaking of the AL Central, Cleveland Guardians closer Emmanuel Clase on Monday was placed on non-disciplinary paid leave through the end of the month as part of a Major League Baseball investigation into sports gambling. That is the second Guardians pitcher to be caught up in the inquiry. Guardians right-hander Luis Ortiz remains on paid leave after originally being placed there on July 3rd after unusual gambling activity on 2 pitches he threw for balls. Sources told ESPN. Ortiz's leave was later extended to August 31st, and in a statement, the Guardian said, quote, no additional players or club personnel are expected to be impacted by the investigation. The investigation, a source confirmed, has not turned up information tying other players with the team to sports gambling. Guardians manager Stephen Vogt said before last night's loss to lowly Colorado, I'm not happy. This stinks. It's a different part of our game now because it's legal. 2 of our guys are being investigated and it hurts. It's an unfortunate situation. It certainly is. Class A, 27 years old, 3-time All-Star, 2-time winner of the Mariano Rivera Award as the best relief pitcher in the American League. Ugly, ugly situation there in Cleveland surrounding 2 of their pitchers. Brewers rookie sensation, the Mizzard of Oz, Jacob Mizorowski, found out last night that it's not always smooth sailing on the mound in the majors. Sporting a 3-0 record with a .56 ERA in 3 starts at AmFam Field since making his major league debut back in mid-June, the Mizzard of Oz had a forgettable first inning against the Chicago Cubs with first place on the line in the NL Central in front of a sellout home crowd. The good news, though, is that the Brewers ended up coming back and winning the thing 8-4. So not all is lost for Jacob Mizorowski in a lost start, taking care of the Cubs. And the Brewers are the team to beat in the NL Central. Very, very strong division. Milwaukee 63-43. Cubs one game back, 62-44. You got the Reds, who could be a playoff team. Cardinals could be a playoff team as well. Pirates very unlikely at 45-62 in the cellar. And lastly here, a little bit more on Ryan Sandberg and the passing today, passing as of yesterday at the age of 65. Hall of Fame second baseman who became one of baseball's best all-around players while starting for the Cubs passed away at the age of 65 just yesterday. He was surrounded by his family when he passed at his home, according to the team. Sandberg announced in January of last year that he had been diagnosed with metastatic prostate cancer. He had chemotherapy and radiation treatments and then said in August of last year he was cancer-free. But he posted on Instagram in December that the cancer had returned and spread to other organs. He announced this month that he was still fighting while, quote, looking forward to making the most of every day with my loving family and friends. Cubs chairman Tom Ricketts said that Sandberg, quote, will be remembered as one of the all-time greats in nearly 150 years of this historic franchise. His dedication to and respect for the game, along with his unrelenting integrity, grit, hustle, and competitive fire, were hallmarks of his career. Hard to forget that guy. Sandberg, born and raised in Spokane, Washington, selected out of high school by the Phillies in the 20th round of the 1978 amateur draft, got into the bigs in 81, was on the Cubs shortly thereafter after just 1 year in Philly. 84, dynamite year for Ryan Sandberg, and was just so consistent throughout his career and a lovable guy as well. And again, I said it two times throughout the show so far. Anytime we have an opportunity to welcome legends to the Sioux Empire for the Legends for Kids or other events, it's pretty darn sweet. And Ryan Sandberg was just that 2 years ago. Sweet, kind, compassionate, forthright, grateful, giving, great person. Unbelievable guy, I could tell you in person. And for those of you that had the opportunity to be there and listen, or maybe you shook his hand and got a couple minutes of conversation with Ryan Sandberg, you could feel how genuine he was, how real he was, and how caring and kind Ryan Sandberg is. And we know that can be rare sometimes these days. And Ryan Sandberg, rest in peace. Gone way too soon at the age of 65 as of yesterday. Thoughts and prayers with the Sandberg family, and what a celebration of life he will have in the years and days to come ahead. That's the latest from Major League Baseball for now. We're going to come back with some NFL chatter, some season previews on the way. We're doing two-a-days right now. We'll spread it out a little bit further as we get closer. We are 2 days away from the NFL season opening up with a game that many people think you're crazy for watching even a minute of. I'll watch the whole thing. Thank you very much. Lions, Chargers, Hall of Fame game coming up tomorrow night, Thursday night, 7 o'clock on NBC from Canton. Big weekend ahead, Hall of Fame inductions, Jared Allen, Sterling Sharp, and others. Lot to love about this weekend that starts the NFL season. We will preview two different teams coming up next. We'll talk about the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins and how much they might stink this year. That's coming up around the corner on this Tuesday edition of Overtime on ESPN Sioux Falls.
The best and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Tuesday, July 29th edition of Overtime. Again, very, very scary storm situation in our neck of the woods last night. West side of Sioux Falls, southwest side, and beyond. All the way through the state of Iowa, things got pretty darn scary in a hurry. Out near Humboldt, out near Hartford, and continued to ramp up. Just wanted to share an overnight storm update from Mayor Paul Tenhaken on Twitter on the show here right now. Before we go any further, effective immediately, City of Sioux Falls has opened two branch and tree drop-off sites for residents to use following last night's storm. The sites are located at Chamber Street near the city's household hazardous waste facility. That is 1015 East Chambers Street. Also another location at Lyon Boulevard. 200 Lyon Boulevard is the address. That is south of the WH Lyon Fairgrounds near West 12th. These are the same locations as the seasonal drop-off site. So again, if you're clearing branches, tree debris, leaves, what have you, they do have two sites open. Again, 1015 East Chambers Street and also Lyon Boulevard. That's 200 Lyon Boulevard just south of the WH Lyon Fairgrounds near West 12th Street. The drop-off sites are for residential use only. Commercial businesses and or contractors can take fallen branches and trees to the Sioux Falls Regional Landfill and or Muller Pallets located west of the landfill. And the mayor goes on to say via Twitter, any down power lines should be treated as live power lines until they have been cleared by the utility. To report down power lines, call 911. To report street blockages or other damage, call the police non-emergency line 605-367-7000, or you can do so online, siouxfalls.gov/report. So a good update there from Mayor Paul Tenhaken as our city continues to navigate through recovery from a pretty scary storm. I know there were several downed trees and limbs and all sorts of debris all over my neighborhood on the west side. Take your time, round your corners carefully, slow down, and help out your neighbors when they're in need. If you need help, certainly reach out for help in recovery from that storm. A lot of downed trees, a lot of damage out there in the Sioux Empire, and certainly beyond our borders as well. Latest news from the NFL as we transition here on this Tuesday, July 29th edition of Overtime. Matthew Stafford is dealing with a back issue as the Rams get ready to start the season. The quarterback isn't ready as of now. Coach Sean McVay confirmed yesterday that Stafford's status has not changed. According to Pro Football Talk and NBCSports.com, Matthew will be week to week. It'll be the same for the rest of the week on that. Week to week always implies a longer absence than day to day. It's rarely a 1 or 2 week thing. So Matthew Stafford, I don't think, if I had to guess right now, I wouldn't imagine that a lingering back issue would prohibit Stafford from starting the year, as much as this is just a pain management issue for Matthew Stafford at this stage. He's dealt with all sorts of injuries throughout his career. Maybe this is just an age thing. Not speculating any further, but day to day, week to week, it feels like not overly serious right now for Stafford. Still a long way to go, a month plus until the official start of the season, but I don't think we're seeing Stafford too much in practice and too much at all in preseason games. The Chicago Bears, unfortunately, are preparing to be without one of their rookies for at least a month. That's defensive tackle Shamar Turner. Brad Biggs of the Chicago Tribune, first on the report via Pro Football Talk. Second round pick, injured his ankle near the end of the first training camp practice last Wednesday, and he will miss all three preseason games and could miss the start of the season, according to Brad Biggs of the Chicago Tribune. And lastly here, more bad news for the Dallas Cowboys. We told you about Tyler Guyton, who will miss a long stretch without a torn ACL, but with a fracture in his knee. We'll see how long that takes to get recovered from, but the Cowboys are also dealing with another player getting injured. That is cornerback Kalen Carson. Hyperextended his knee on Sunday. That injury could keep him out 4 to 6 weeks, according to ESPN's Todd Archer. Comes a day after an MRI showed a fractured bone and sprain in the right knee of left tackle Tyler Guyton, who will also miss 4 to 6 weeks. So two guys who should be big parts of the Cowboys this year, offense, defense, Kalen Carson, Tyler Guyton, going to miss the better part of a month or more, month and a half possible for those two individuals. Let's preview some NFL football seasons now before we get you primed and ready for the good, the bad, and the ugly and say so long to our show. Let's talk about the New York Jets. Some people say, let's not. They stink. They're not going anywhere. And that's probably true this year. We'll wait and see. But their new head coach is Aaron Glenn, first year. 5-12 was the finish last year for those New York Jets. And they added a lot of decent players to the roster. Justin Fields, Brandon Stevens, Andre Sisco, wide receiver Josh Reynolds, and also got center Josh Myers to come over from Green Bay via free agency. The departures on the roster for the New York Jets, quarterback Aaron Rodgers, wide receiver Devontae Adams, cornerback DJ Reed is a big loss for the Jets. They also said so long to defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw and tight end Tyler Conklin. Their ranks last year were not good. They were okay offensively, but below average, 24th in yards, 25th in points. They were third in yards and 20th in points allowed on the defensive side. So yeah, that group that we talk about all the time in New York did take a step back defensively last year. They did do a decent job of taking care of the football. They were just minus two in turnover margin. That was good for 17th in the league. The New York Jets have the seventh hardest schedule this year. The divisional outlook, not good for New York. They're still looking up at Buffalo and probably looking up at Miami and looking up at the New England Patriots this year, if I had to guess. So playoffs, no. Win total, 6.5 right now in Vegas at VegasInsider.com. I'm going to say under. I feel good about the under in New York unless Justin Fields suddenly becomes a really good player. I don't see it adding up to a successful campaign for the Jets this year. 5-12 or 6-11 seems pretty darn realistic. Now the Miami Dolphins. If you listen to the show, you know I'm low on this team this year. They lost a lot. They continue to have some internal dysfunction. And the last time I checked, they have one of the longer playoff win droughts in the NFL at present. Last year, despite all of that and all the drama and everything that went wrong with Tua and others on the roster, they finished 8-9, shy of a playoff appearance, and finished second in the division. Coach Mike McDaniel, the offensive whiz kid, fourth season at the helm, 28-23, 0-2 postseason record, and they did not bring in a ton. But they did trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick. They said so long to Jalen Ramsey. They added guard James Daniels, quarterback Zach Wilson, and wide receiver Nick Westbrook-Ikhine comes over from Tennessee. The departures, Jalen Ramsey. Free safety Javon Holland is a big loss. Defensive end Calais Campbell also off the roster, as was other pass rusher Emmanuel Ogba. Their ranks last year were not good, but the defense surprised me. Didn't view this defense as that good last year, but the defense 4th in yards, 10th in points allowed. The offense 18th in yards, 22nd in points, so a big step back for Miami. And they turned it over. Minus 5 in turnover margin, that was 21st in the NFL. Their schedule highlights, lowlights, they have the 21st easiest schedule, so the 11th hardest schedule coming up in 2025. The divisional outlook, competitive. Top heavy. I think Buffalo is by far the best team in the division. Most people would agree with that. Playoffs not likely for Miami. 7.5 is where they have it. And this is where I get into these situations. I don't like the Dolphins. I think they're going to be bad this year. But how bad are they going to be? I don't think they make the playoffs. But I'm going to go over on the win total of 7.5. And I'm going to say 8 wins, 9 wins possible. But that's going to be not great. I don't think this is going to be an absolute disaster in South Beach, but I don't think it's promising. I don't think it's playoff worthy, but there's a little spread right there in between the over and missing the playoffs. And I'm going to ride that line with Miami right now. Over 7.5, 8-9 at best for the Dolphins this year. And yes, I do think Mike McDaniel will be on the hot seat this year, might lose his job. We'll see. If it's a lot worse than 8-9, I would say probably will lose his job in year number 4. That's the latest from the National Football League for now. Also, your season previews today. Tomorrow, we're talking Bills and Patriots, two teams that are on the rise, or so we think. I think the Patriots will be a lot better. How good? I don't know. 7 wins, 8 wins, that would be a massive win in year number 1 under Mike Vrabel. And the Bills are going to bill. And that does not mean what it used to mean back in the 2000s and the 2010s. They were awful. They were stinky. They were going nowhere. Quarterback carousel. Now they're one of the best teams in the NFL every single year, and I think that continues in 2025. Those previews coming up tomorrow on the show, as are our conversations. Sioux Falls, Washington head coach Ryan Evans. We're also talking Brandon Valley football, all in an early edition of Overtime from 10 to 11:30 tomorrow. But before we're done today, we're coming right back with the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's next on Overtime.
Streaming live online and with the app, this is Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Tuesday edition of Overtime. Time to say so long to the show. Training camp updates are here, including some tough injury news for the Dallas Cowboys. Green Bay Packers are a little dinged up. Marshawn Lloyd reportedly limping off yesterday. Savion Williams, the team's third round rookie receiver, also heading off the practice field apparently moments ago, shaking his head. Not good news for the Green Bay Packers. We'll keep you updated on potential injury statuses moving forward for that pair of players. The good, the bad, the ugly now on the show, always brought to you by Hardscapes Outlet as we dot the map, cross our T's, dot our I's. Around the sports world, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Who's been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and is now setting a bad example. Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, as many of you know, planning a new outdoor space can be hard. Don't get left out in the cold. Plan your next project today with the help of the pros at Hardscapes Outlet. Don't let your project turn out bad or ugly. Get some good advice in planning today by making a trip to Hardscapes Outlet. Good news first, an autographed pair of Adidas EQT Top 10 shoes that Kobe Bryant wore in his first Lakers start have sold for $240,000, including buyer's premium with SCP Auctions, the second largest sum ever paid for a pair of his sneakers. Photo matching company Sports Investors Authentication matched the shoes to, quote, being worn by Kobe Bryant on January 28th of 1997. Bryant played in 34 games, believe it or not, before making his first start with the Lakers, averaged 6.5 points in 13 minutes per game. In his first start, Kobe poured in 12 on 5 of 11 shooting from the field, and those sneakers, smelly or otherwise, $240,000 at auction over the weekend. Other good news, Cameron Brink, recent number two pick in the 2024 WNBA draft, is set to make her season debut for the Sparks tonight against the Aces 13 months after tearing her left ACL. Brink and Sparks coach Lynn Roberts told reporters the news yesterday at practice as Los Angeles heads into today's contest on a league-best five-game win streak. And the WNBA starting to showcase a little bit more parity this season. Right out of the jump, it was the Liberty, it was the Lynx, and then it was everyone else. And we've seen some cool down, we've seen some heat up, and everything in between. Should be a good fight to the finish this year in the WNBA. And lastly here, we touched on this in hour one. University of Colorado football coach Deion Sanders announced yesterday as part of the ugly news that he did undergo surgery to remove his bladder after doctors discovered a tumor there. Sanders said that since the surgery, there have been no traces of cancer and that he will continue to coach this coming season. In a packed touchdown club at the Dal Ward Athletic Center in Boulder, Sanders was both serious in tone as well as celebratory and full of humor about what he's been through as he appeared with Dr. Janet Kukrija, director of urological oncology at the University of Colorado Cancer Center. Kubrija declared Sanders cured of cancer, adding that she doesn't, quote, use that word lightly. This was not an easy task. It was dynamic. It was tough. It wasn't a cakewalk. It wasn't easy, said Sanders, who added that he lost about 25 pounds. That was a fight, but we made it. All sorts of highlights to that conversation yesterday, centered around Coach Prime and his recovery, and certainly had some tongue-in-cheek moments, some funny moments, but also use that platform in such a powerful way. Very proud to say that I'm proud of Coach Prime for reaching out and saying and addressing people, not just men, but also went after men as well. Get to the doctor. Get checked out. Take care of yourself. You never know. I didn't see this coming. Look where I am now. I would not be here without these great people. Very, very good situation out of an ugly situation there for Colorado's coach, Deion Sanders. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. That is our show today on a Tuesday. Tomorrow we get going at 10 a.m. We got two coaches in hour number one, Brandon Valley, Sioux Falls, Washington. Don't miss the show tomorrow, 10 to 11:30. Twins pregame at 11:30. We'll get going pretty darn early tomorrow morning, and we'll talk to you then when the next edition of Overtime rolls back around right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.